Never had you figured for a Doors fan.
I'm not really a Doors fan, but sure, I'd like to get into them.
You want to be a Doors fan? You can't just go buy any album. It's scientific.
Sure.
You gotta buy this. Waiting for the Sun. Listen to it every night around dusk for about a month.
Then what?
Who's playing bass?
No one.
No bass.
No bass?
That's right. The gypsies had no homes. The Doors had no bass. But don't let that scare you, my friend. Let that liberate you. Because when you're free-flying with the Doors, man, what do you need a safety net for?
TBTL.
Good afternoon and welcome to Judgment City. You've just had quite a little journey, so for now, relax and enjoy the ride.
Be honest. What is it about me that no one respects? Is it my hair? Yeah. I'm thinking about getting a new haircut. Changing stuff up. Maybe getting like an Arnie Schwarzenegger jingle all the way type of haircut. You know, short, tall, and stiff.
These people are lost and on drugs, and they have venereal diseases. That's not for you.
You don't know them.
In 1971, Bill Gates invented Microsoft. Wouldn't it be cool if I could remember my dingus password for my email?
All right, here we go. Hello, good morning, and welcome, everybody, to a Wednesday edition of TBTL.
Well, shit. What are y'all doing?
The show that just might be too beautiful to live. My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host, coming to you from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill.
You don't want to get mixed up with a guy like me.
In Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City. I want to tell you it's a beautiful Wednesday here in Bellingham, but I have to actually check that because this isn't being recorded on Wednesday. This is one of those times where we're recording the show on a Tuesday, but presenting it as the Wednesday edition of
the
program.
Oh my god. Hold on.
Sorry about all of that. I was trying to grab my cell phone. That was a lot to deal with as listeners, and I apologize. Here's what just happened. I wanted to grab my cell phone and dial into the weather app so I could see what the actual weather is up here in the Bay City as this is being released to the world. It turns out, rain and kind of crummy weather. That's what will be happening as this is hitting the internet. But as I grabbed my phone to try to do that, it slipped out of my hand, landed on the keyboard, and started playing multiple different pieces of audio from my computer. Because the program that I use does that now. Like, I could play 35 different pieces of tape. You wouldn't want to hear that. It'd probably turn into that thing called the brown note that creates stomach distress. But anyway, okay, we got that out of the way. I think that's probably as bad as things can possibly get this hour. Meaning, we've only got improvements in our future. Things can only go up from here on episode 3,191 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
And I hope things do improve from here because we have an exciting special little thing today.
This is special. This is special.
We are going to reunite Julian, the very capable high school student out there in Connecticut, with Andrew Walsh, a former teacher of his. Julian reached out to our Andrew Walsh on Twitter wondering if he was the Andrew Walsh in question. He was not, but you, the genius TBTL listeners, were able to find the Andrew Walsh we were looking for. We now have both of them standing by their telephones, and we are going to put them back in touch via the magic of podcasting. So stick around for that. Plus, we've got emails and V-mails, and we've got this guy. Speaking of podcasting, it's all he knows, and it's all he wants to know. He is the longest-running Cobro of this show, and he was also June 1997 Employee of the Month at Omega Pultrusions in Ohio. He is Andrew.
Oh yeah,
Walsh, and he's joining me right now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Good morning, my friend.
Oh, that I were! You can't give me made-up honorifics like that. I'll get kicked out of the. I'll get kicked out of the fiberglass.
The Pultrusions,
yeah.
The Pultrusions community is tight-knit.
That's
and,
right.
By the way, bitchy as hell.
Oh, catty.
Just spilling the tea left and right. And if they hear that you've been claiming Employee of the Month status that you did not actually earn, you're not gonna have a friend in the fiberglass industry.
And you know how it works too, right? Once you do get to be employee of the month, then you get to vote on the other employees of the month as well. And I don't want to be kicked out of that by giving myself false honorifics. Although my reasoning here just went into circles and doesn't make any sense.
Why did you work? Your dad owned a manufacturing company. They did like steel and other, you know, it was called Walsh. It is still to this day called Walsh Manufacturing. It's a kind of a factory-ish job.
A fabrication shop, I think, is maybe how you would call it. Made a lot of things out of steel, especially big parts washers.
So then why did you go work at a fiberglass place when your dad owned a similarly Bruce Springsteen song title-related type of business?
Because you know how it is. You have kids, you're a steel man, and you raise kids, and you hope they're going to be steel kids too. But no, then I went into plastics. It was my way of rebelling. No, I needed work during college. What it was I went to college about, I don't know, what was an hour drive? Kent State's about an hour outside of Cleveland. And so the Pultrusions, a.k.a. the fiberglass factory job, was near where I lived and went to school outside Kent, Ohio. It wasn't in Cleveland.
So it was, got it. So it was just closer. It wasn't that you and your dad had one of those sort of like, you know, you guys didn't butt heads, and then you said, like, look at me, I'll make something out of myself. I'll go work at a fiberglass factory, and then one day, Dad, I'll be a podcaster.
It's all good.
And then you'll be sorry.
What I did was I started my own parts washer company, and I'm going to be very successful with my own parts washer company. And it's going to be called, let's see, that theirs was called Walsh Manufacturing. What would be the opposite, or what would be a thumb in the eye to Walsh Manufacturing?
Walsh Deconstruction.
Walsh Deconstruction. Oh my gosh, I'm going to start a factory where they take apart old parts washers and
take
recycle,
that old man.
Recycle the scrap. There'll be in the movie of my life. There'll be, well, I assume that Vincent D'Onofrio will play the young Andrew Walsh, appealing old Walsh Manufacturing logos off of these parts washers before crumpling them with a giant machine.
We just got the contract to dismantle these microphones that Prince was using at his concert.
That's right. That's a great claim.
And if you get that joke, you have been listening for a while. And if you don't, you're probably somebody that Julian or the other Andrew Walsh said, hey, you should tune into this podcast that we're going to be on. And you're like, what even is happening right now?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take it out of the realm of things that new listeners wouldn't know what we're talking about and into the realm of something everybody just heard. I want to say, Luke, of all of the drops that could play at once, how did your phone land on two of the most disturbing ones? Like, one of them was it was the alarms, the TVTL breaking news, so it came in like some sort of a hurricane alarm or something. It was so scary, Luke. And then if my mic was on, you would have heard me yelp something like, is that me? Like, I had no idea what was going on.
I don't even know what the other sound effect that was playing was. I just knew all of these like little sort of digital displays, these little tiles that I'm looking at right now, multiple tiles were playing at once, and I didn't know how to turn it all off. And so I like stopped, I stopped one, but then one was still playing, you know, like
I think I heard the PP in one, the one from Marketplace. Did I hear that in there?
I know. And you know what? I was thinking on tomorrow's show, we may talk about PP.
We were both PP in at the same time. It's fun.
Because I wanted to talk about this travel, basically travel urinal that's selling like hotcakes right now. Anyway,
like
so
urinal
I
cakes.
Actually, yeah, man, boy, did I ever leave that one on the short of the green. Like, I really had a chance to probably, I don't know, eagle that hole, and instead I double bogeyed. I actually said to you before the show, I was like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to mention this pee story because my guess is we have lots and lots to talk about. Very excited to reunite Julian and other Andrew Walsh. And we're not going to need to get to that story. And I love this audio drop. So
we were both peeing at the same time. It's fun.
And I literally wanted to just like hang on to it. Because if I play a piece of tape to forward promote a story and then we don't get to it, the next day I feel like I don't want to play the same piece of tape. And to be honest with you, this is our best urine-related tape, Andrew. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just going to admit it. So the idea that my phone completely hoisted me, petard style, with that audio drop that I was saving, that I was excited to play on tomorrow's show, and the TBTL breaking news sounder, which is by design incredibly jarring. I mean, I couldn't reproduce that if I was trying. And by the way, I'll never try, because that was. And also, as you know, Andrew, and as the listeners know, that's pretty much my number one pain point when it comes to things on the show. When I play an audio drop that's like way too loud or too quiet or the wrong one or I can't find one, for some reason that really sticks in my craw. So playing those two drops like that, me just imagining listeners all over America and even the world taking their earbuds out or turning down the volume in their car if they're playing us on Bluetooth or whatever, I hate that feeling. I hate imagining that. And well, that's exactly what happened.
Well, listen, I mean, it happened early enough in the show that you could have just stopped. You could have said, you know what, that was a disaster, let's start over. I'm glad you didn't. I think it was a moment of, and this is, these are the depths to which the show has fallen. I feel like that was a real moment. I feel like that is a moment that is going to create reaction amongst each individual listener. I think it created real emotion. For me, it was absolute terror. But also, it was terror because I wasn't sure if it was coming from my machine. I was like, did I leave something? Remember one time, this happened literally 7 years ago, but I made one of these intro mixes that start every show. Actually, I was talking to a listener the other day who was surprised to hear that they're prefab, going back to fabrication, that I make them in advance. These montages with the music, I make them in advance, then we hit play on them, and then when the montage ends, you start talking. A listener thought that we're still doing it live, like dropping those live. So I don't know if that takes away some of the magic, but I was so thrilled to hear that this is what this listener thought was happening. Somehow I really got a kick out of that, so I figured I would take away that magic for everybody else on the show right here. Anyway, 7 years ago, I prefabbed one of those things, and I left like an erroneous drop, like well into the music bed where you were talking. Do you happen to remember that? I mean, this was probably, I don't know, Burbank Springs, or not Burbank Springs. What did you call your house in Mount Baker? Didn't you have a studio?
We were in the basement. It was, yeah, I think it was Burbank Studios DeBajo, I think, was when we moved to the basement. And then maybe, I don't even remember what we were calling the room that I was broadcasting from. I don't know if it had a name.
Maybe it did.
The listeners will remind
us. Anyway, I made that story way more complicated than it needed to be. But I thought that in this case, I had done that again. Because it happens, like a cicada, it happens once every 7 years. You leave an erroneous drop in the intro mix. But I'm actually kind of relieved to know it was your fault.
Yep, 100% my fault. And, you know, if my mind is a little bit elsewhere today, I think it's okay because, or at least it's explainable. The reason we're recording the show a bit early is because as this is being released to the internet, I will be traipsing around the town of Blaine, Washington, in the woods looking for giant Asian hornets, a.k.a. murder hornets.
Are you going to be wearing like a protective gear?
No one said anything to me about gear yet. I don't think I'm going to have any protective gear. I think they're hard enough to find that if we found one, we'd be excited and just stand back or something. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Until you mentioned that, it never even occurred. I will be wearing a mask, by the way, if I'm going to be near anyone, of course. I'm practicing social distancing. Speaking of which, the hoops that you have to jump through now, apparently, to do TV journalism stories, if you work for CBS, I mentioned this the other day, it's pretty involved. I now have this app I had to download on my phone for some special telemedicine place. It's called VC Clinic, which anytime someone tells you they're going to the VC Clinic, it means they have been
out
living
there
far too wild of a life. Oh, God, I had to go to the VC Clinic the other day. So everything's fine. I got some penicillin. Mm-hmm. But I had to download this like telemedicine app for this company where I have to then, and it has to be within 8 hours of the shoot. So I need to either tonight, wait until midnight tonight, or get up early tomorrow. And before I go out, I need to video in with some nurse somewhere and then demonstrate to them that I'm taking my temperature over this Zoom call or whatever, this phone app thing. And then they will look at the temperature and they will decide if I'm allowed to go out and look for murder hornets.
Are you using your own thermometer?
Well, okay, here's the thing. Right when the pandemic started, I bought one of those, the kind that they used when you were getting your hair cut the other day that we've all seen so many times now. They're sort of almost look a little bit like a gun. You pull the trigger on them. I thought those things were cool looking. And I liked that they were no contact. I liked that I could just walk around the house and just point it at Rudy or Carrie or Olive and figure out who might be vectoring here at the Springs.
You sound fun.
And I also liked that I could just, I don't know, to be totally honest with you, I thought they seemed kind of cool and fun to use. So I bought one, and it was not a cheap one. It was like $100 plus or something. That also had to do with the fact that there was a run on these things. But it finally came in the mail. I put the batteries in. And I will tell you this. It has never given anyone in this house a reading that looks anything like any of the readings we were getting before. You know, we did a story on this show about how we think that 97.3 is no longer...
98.6.
I do that. I knew I was going to do that. It's the frequency of the radio station we used to work at. 98.6 is no longer the standard temperature because maybe our bodies have cooled a little bit over time because we're not all... our gums aren't all infected all the time, mm-hmm. and our body temperature, our body is not raging to try to like kill off infection. And so when I have used this thing, it never gives me a reading that feels satisfactory. It's always sort of like, I don't know, like 95 degrees, which I'm like, I don't think that's okay. That seems dangerous. But it's somehow, even though it's digital, it feels less precise than the old ones, even though the other ones I was using in the olden days, which would be like a... one you put under your tongue or the kind that you just place against your forehead. I mean, honestly, were those that accurate? Who even knows?
I'm always coming in under because I told you I had chills the other day. They didn't last too long, but I got in my head about it because of everything that's going on, and I was really worried that I might be getting sick. So I took my temperature right away, and I took it a couple of times. You know, like when you're like, that can't be right. I must be fevering right now. But I took it a couple of times that day, and I was coming in at 97-ish both times. I was talking to my mom the other day. She says that she comes in at 95 quite a bit, so that might be in the acceptable range.
I guess, but it just makes me feel – I guess I was excited about this thing because I thought this is going to be – this is the most expensive thermometer I've ever purchased. It's futuristic technology. I see them using it, you know, at airports and places like that. It seems to be very reliable. And I thought it was going to be like, this is the most precision read of my temperature that I'm ever going to get. And it feels less precise to me, which is a bad feeling. I just want to go back to the silly thing that I put under my tongue and watch the mercury go up to wherever it goes up to.
Well, let me ask you this. How do you like taking your own temperature with this gun? That seems very awkward to me.
It is awkward. I don't love that part of it either. Although, you know, you get used to it. You go, just look in the mirror. Turn the thing towards your forehead, you know. The other problem is I'm not 100% clear on how to operate it. Like, by that I mean the on button is kind of tricky. Like, I think it automatically turns itself off, but sometimes the batteries are dead inexplicably even though we haven't used it, so I'm a little bit worried. I mean, it came from China. The directions were all in I don't know the difference between Mandarin or Cantonese as it's written, but it was in a language that I don't understand. So, like, I'm kind of winging it. I also don't know how to get it turned off of the what's the one? Do we do Fahrenheit?
We do. Celsius.
I don't know how to get it off
one?
Of Celsius. Yeah. So every time I use it, I have to Google the Celsius translation.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of
there's
challenges
lot
with this thermometer, Andrew.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. It is, and I don't. We should invite our friends onto the show now, and I certainly don't want to end this segment by piling up on you, but it is a very, I think you would admit, Burbankian thing to kind of buy a whiz-bang gadget when faced with some sort of a new reality, you will often buy a whiz-bang gadget.
And then not know how to operate it.
And, well, you know, you learned how to use your laser helmet.
Speaking of which, I know we've got Andrew Walsh's and Julian's to reunite, but I took the thing apart. I took out the battery. I Googled battery replacement. It took me to the website that makes the laser balding helmet. They had a phone number to call. No one answered. I'm sure because of COVID, they're like, yeah, we're going to like probably take a break from mailing out replacement batteries. I was Googling around. I went on some website called Mercari, which is like a kind of off-brand eBay. Found one, ordered it, put it in there. Works like a charm.
Nice.
Like a charm, Andrew. $6.
$6. That's like,
yeah.
It's like 1/6 of your thermometer. That's not how math works. Let's move on.
Mm-hmm. I know, but I'm very happy that that worked out, because it's not like a product. It's this weird, almost like proprietary thing they do, which is basically a rechargeable battery that's wrapped in plastic, but then it has – it's, you know, those kind of like – almost like a wiring bracket or harness that will be in the interior of something that's electronic.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
like
I think
so. Clicks in. It has like mm-hmm. three prongs. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find any of – I couldn't find anything online that looked like the same number of prongs. And here I am buying this thing. It's like $6. It's coming from who knows where. I'm like, is there any chance this is even going to work? And I plug it in, and it was just like – It was aces.
Nice.
And that was really made my Saturday.
That was so rare.
I had that news on Saturday. I had Trump's rally fizzling on Sunday. I told you, man, it was a solid weekend for Burbs.
Everything coming up Burbank. One of these Indeed. Days, I've avoided doing it. You know, you and I got off to a slightly later start on this show than we expected because I was having some issues with my computer. I have this relatively new computer here, and I have one specific issue with it. I'm not even going to start to talk about it now, but I want you to know that I build up mental dams in my brain so that I don't go on long jags on this show talking about really boring things that are frustrating to me but are completely unrelatable because they're about the inside of a computer. I've been doing everything I can to not get into those conversations, specifically about this issue I'm having with this computer. The dams are going to break at some point, and I'm almost worried that I'm letting it build up so much that when I finally get triggered to start talking about this issue I'm having, that's it. It may be a 4-hour show, and it may be my last show.
And when do you think the dam is going to break?
I don't know. That's what's scary about it. At some point, you're just going to hear that beep, beep, beep sound with somebody saying, I was on the toilet pee-peeing, and he was pee-peeing, and that's when we know the alarm.
Weird
will be...
that that's how you're going to start it, yeah. But you know, I respect that you know yourself that well. That and then what should I do when the levee breaks?
Run. Just run. Really? Just run. You're not even. I'm not even going to need you for that part of the conversation. Like, I'll just go. I just have so many thoughts and issues.
You want to make that Friday's show?
No, I don't think
I'm going to.
You what? You got to?
I'm going to be in Tenino. I'm going to be mm-hmm. fairly busy. I mean, I could just take Friday off, and you could just erupt. Mount St. Walsh could just erupt with VPN related content or whatever it's exactly going to be.
It's going to be like that time you were that plumber was kicking at your poop tube outside. That
Ugh.
Is not.
Can we please, on a day when we may have some new listeners, can you not say the phrase kicking at my poop tube? Because now I have to clarify.
What was
clarify.
That? You had a sewer pipe or something that was all clogged up in your backyard, and you had a
huge
plumber who was kicking at it.
A huge root. Grew through. We had back. Speaking of the Mount Baker Studios or whatever we were calling the house in the broadcast area back in those days. That house had, you know, it was an old house, and it had the sewer pipe going from the house out to the street was, I think, made of some kind of ceramic or clay. And over time, roots had worked their way into it and broken through it, and it was backing up. And actually, what was happening was, on certain days, we would get like sewage coming up through a shower in the basement, the drain of the shower in the basement. And I just thought it was something with the shower, and then we just didn't get better and called a guy. And because we'd had part of it replaced before, there was a sort of a release valve on it that was just made out of PVC, white plastic PVC pipe. And this guy came out and he said something like, I can't remember what he said exactly, but he's looked me in the eye, and he stepped his boot down on this release and twisted it with his foot, and the cap popped off, and human sewage just came pouring. I mean, it was a borderline geyser, and he just maintained unbroken eye contact with me as it happened, which I found to be weird and kind of some sort of alpha move. I didn't like it. was kicking my poop tube,
that's
though.
Right.
It was not,
and that's not a
wasn't
show
anything
title?
Anything else.
That's not – I'm not allowed to use that as a show
title. Hey, you know what?
Today?
I'd love it. Actually, let's do that today. Can we make that the show title?
Kicking at my poop tube? Oh, you're calling my bluff, aren't you? Is this what it
looks
like?
That's what
that
looks like.
When I play
this is called coming over the top. What happened, Andrew, was I flopped the nuts.
Oh,
I slow played.
Oh, you can say that.
I flopped the nuts. I slow played it. You caught a piece of it, but now you made a bet at it, and now I'm coming over the top. Mm-hmm. That's
wow.
That's what happened there, my friend.
I've made a huge mistake.
Believe me, I still take the title for hugest mistake so far this show. All right, let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll check in with Julian and Andrew Walsh, and we'll let them check in with each other, and we'll see how that all goes in a moment on TBTL. How great would it be, Andrew, if I started playing the TBTL breaking news sounder over this? That's just my new signature audio move. All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. We now have on the line our young friend Julian out in Connecticut, who started this whole little journey to try to find his former teacher, also named Andrew Walsh. This was, I don't know, what was it, a month ago or something that we talked to Julian? Julian, welcome back to the show. How long ago did we talk to you?
That's a good question, you know? A month seems about right.
It's like time doesn't have much meaning these days, does it? How have
seriously.
It floats by.
Yes. How have you been doing? I think you were just wrapping up school work last time we talked, whenever that was, and now we're deep into summer. How you doing?
I'm great. Now technically a senior. Our school had a drive-in graduation.
Oh, how was that?
So, I was not attending. It was just for the seniors and their families. Wanted to keep it as small as possible.
Have you found out if are you going to have school like in person? Are you going to attend school next year?
We're not sure yet. You know, we've heard rumors. Other districts are thinking about doing, you know, splitting the grade in half and doing 2 days per half grade, and then the other 2 days the other half of the grade goes in. But our district has not released any information.
Are you hoping that you get to have at least some semblance of in-person schooling?
I really hope so. I really do. I miss my teachers, miss my friends.
Well, we know you miss your teachers because you reached out to Andrew desperately hoping he was your Andrew Walsh. He wasn't, but our listeners were able to locate your former teacher. And what I'm going to do now is hit a dial on my little system here and see if we can get in touch with... Hello.
Very
good.
Exciting.
It's ringing. That's a good sign. I know.
Ooh.
We're calling the other Andrew Walsh.
Hello?
Hi, is this Andrew Walsh?
Yes, it is.
Hey there. It's Luke Burbank and another guy named Andrew Walsh from TBTL and... I hope anyway, or this is going to be very weird. Your former student, Julian?
Hi, Mr. Walsh.
How are you, Julian?
Oh my gosh, this is crazy.
First of all, this is the other Andrew Walsh, the lesser Andrew Walsh, as I'm now known because of you, Andrew Walsh. How you doing? It's good to meet you. Is this whole thing pretty weird for you?
It kind of came a little bit out of the blue, yeah. I really haven't ever expected to hear from former students. Kind of part of the whole substituting, bouncing around from district to district to district, it's hard to really be in one place, and I just it was a bit bizarre.
But I would imagine kind of rewarding because, like, Julian reached out to us. Well, Julian reached out to our Andrew Walsh, and he was just going on and on about all of the cool stuff you did. Julian, what did you like so much about this Andrew Walsh's time as your teacher?
I legitimately enjoyed learning from you so much. And, you know, my friends and I still talk about, hey, I remember in seventh grade when Mr. Walsh came to school in the toga, or do you remember when Mr. Walsh had us go around and draw that math? We talk about you all the time. And, you know, you're one of the substitute teachers that made such an impact on us.
I honestly made my quarantine to hear that.
Is that something that's emotional to contemplate?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I had Julian when he was in seventh grade, and that was several years ago. And you're like, you know, you think back to that, and like, how much of an impact have you left? You know, how much they remember you or whatnot.
This would have to be the best possible outcome, though. Like, you're going into the classroom, you're hoping that you make an impact on these students. You made such an impact on Julian that he was casting about on the internet trying to find you. Why you keep a pretty low profile in terms of social media?
I have exactly zero social media.
What's that about?
Well, it's partially because as I was going through getting my teaching certification, they tell you to, if you keep social media, use like your mother's maiden name or something like that. You know, you really don't want students who you have to be able to find you.
So you were avoiding Julian this whole time, and we thwarted that?
Actively Julian, yes.
How's that feel, Julian? Does that hurt?
A little bit. No, my dad's a teacher, and he does the same.
Yeah, so yeah, I am purposefully hard to find.
What do you remember about Julian? Julian remembers you really vividly. Do you remember anything about him?
Yes, I remember that when I started, I remember he wasn't entirely that interested in history. I do remember, though, on my first day as his teacher, I had to introduce Sparta, and I came in and I decided to do the first part of the lesson as like a very militaristic, almost drill sergeant kind of a way, and he made a joke. Like a talkback joke, and I counted the syllables of the joke and handed him detentions for each syllable.
did this Julian, do you remember this?
I completely forgot about that. It's coming, you made us do push-ups.
I did make you do push-ups too, and organize the room and all that. And
oh, that was incredible.
The detentions weren't real. I'm not a monster. But I remember the moment that I thought history kind of clicked with Julian during some, I think it was study hall or something, I had on the 1812 Overture just on the computer, and I got to the part with the cannons, and Julian's head shot up, his eyes went wide, and he's like, are those cannons? I'm like, yeah, because Tchaikovsky was boss. And I explained that it was about Napoleon, and the next day he came in with this massively thick book about the Battle of Waterloo. And he did a rap about, I forget what the Greek project he did. I don't forget what the topic
was. Oh, it was the philosophers.
About the philosophers, that's right. And I got pulled to sub one of his math classes, and he and a couple other students convinced me to abandon the math teacher's plans and instead give an impromptu lecture on the First Crusade because they decided that history was better than math.
I would agree with
amazing.
That 100%.
In the email you sent me, Julian had mentioned the talent show, and I remembered, if I remember correctly, he was in a rendition of the Cabinet Battle from Hamilton.
Yes, I was.
For that talent show.
Okay, so Julian, you were doing something from Hamilton, and Andrew Walsh, you were doing, Celtic music?
I sang the Black Velvet Band, which is a traditional Irish song.
Is that, were you one of the few teachers performing in the show, or was that pretty typical?
I felt embarrassed because an email went out to all the staff to sign up for it, and I was like, okay. I know a ton of Irish songs, so I'll do it. And then the day came, and I was, apart from the principal and the assistant principal, I was the only staff member who signed up.
Oh, man.
And I was a long-term sub. I felt like a fool.
Well, Julian remembered it fondly. Julian, what do you remember about that?
I mean, he was just up stage by himself, and he sang, and he did a great job, and everyone just loved it. It was
so you.
So it
didn't
refreshing.
Feel weird to you?
No, it felt great. I mean, we were all so fond of him. I don't think there was anyone who did not like, you know, Mr. Walsh. And we enjoyed seeing our favorite sub sing.
You know, Andrew, hearing Julian describe you and hearing you talk about these memories, you sound like the teacher that a lot of us can relate to. We all had teachers like you, our favorite teacher, our teacher who is going to go the extra mile and make learning fun. And it sounds like you have sort of a journeyman's life when it comes to teaching. You've subbed around, if I understand it correctly. Do you feel sometimes like you would like to like kind of settle down in one place so you could kind of build more of a reputation? Or is there a reason that you are a substitute?
Right now I'm a substitute because it's incredibly hard to find a full-time teaching job in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. For every job opening, there's 100 people that are applying. Mm-hmm.
Have you considered putting this on your resume? I think you're probably one of the few subs in Connecticut who had a former student reach out to a podcast inadvertently to try to track them down. This has to be a unique situation.
Oh no, this is going to go under, you know, achievements and life experiences. Definitely.
Good. Julian, have you thought about what? I mean, you're still, you know, about to be a senior now. Have you thought about what you might want to do for job stuff in the future? And you said your dad's a teacher. Has any of your experience with Andrew Welsh, the teacher, kind of made you think you might want to be a teacher someday?
I don't think teaching would be for me, but I am interested in the whole the world of history and politics. And, you know, that class is when I really started loving it. I'm taking, you know, AP government next year. I have an offer to intern for Congressman John Larson in either Hartford or D.C. So maybe I'll be going into that.
Would you say, Andrew Welsh, that was Julian one of your star students? I mean, it sounds like you guys really totally clicked once you got done doing push-ups.
Julian was one of those students that I never had to worry about them. I'm in no way shocked that he's interested in politics. When he was in eighth grade, I was subbing at the middle school again, and he ran up to me with a communist manifesto in his hand and started grilling me on what my thoughts on communism were. So, again, the fact that he says politics, it's like, yeah, no, obviously.
I had a question for you, Andrew Welsh, to Andrew Welsh here. How has being an Andrew Welsh worked out for you so far? How do you like being an Andrew Welsh?
Well, when I was growing up, I hated the name Andrew and tried desperately to get rid of it. I have come to terms with my Andrewness, though I refuse to let anyone call me Andy or Drew. And honestly, I really hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm in the process of not being a Welsh anymore.
I
got married in December. And my wife and I have decided to take on a completely new name for both of us, you know, new family. We're both shedding our last names, and we have chosen a new one. We actually just sent the paperwork in to have it finalized and all that kind of stuff.
It would have been explains a lot.
Can you imagine if we were trying to find you a month from now?
It would have been so much harder.
Oh my gosh. The Andrew Welsh tribe is losing an Andrew Welsh, which, by the way, what you're doing with your wife sounds really cool, by the way. I really appreciate that. I think that's a really neat kind of gesture in reality.
We looked at all of our cultural heritage backgrounds that we're bringing into our family, and we made up a list of last names that fall into all of them, and then we just went, which one of these looks the coolest?
I have to say, it looks cool, dude. Like, I was getting these emails from you with a different last name. I said to our Andrew Welsh, I was like, I don't even know if this dude's name is Andrew Welsh anymore, because I'm getting emails from a totally different last name.
Yep. My new last name and my wife's new last name is Wolf.
Yeah.
But in terms of being an Andrew Welsh, it has served me well. It is time to lay down the mantle and no longer have to be the lesser Welsh. It's partly because I feel bad.
Well, yeah. Here's the reality. I am still the lesser Andrew Welsh because you are actually the second Andrew Welsh I've met in my life. Luke, I don't know if you remember this story or not. I will give you the very, very brief version. But I was taking a long trip somewhere on an airplane, and I had really terrible seats all the way in the back. And suddenly they called my name,
right.
Andrew Welsh. Please come up to first class. And all the flight attendants said, oh, yeah, there's a seat waiting for you. You've gotten bumped up. And I had no idea. I'm not the type of guy who gets bumped up. I was so excited. I get my bags down. I wheel them all the way up to the front of this crowded plane. And there's somebody sitting in my seat. And I'm like, that's for me. I have this new boarding pass. I'm in first class now. And the guy's like, no, I'm supposed to be here. And it turns out our names are both Andrew Welsh, and he looked like an Andrew Welsh who belongs in first class. So I had to wheel my bag all the way back to the very, very last row of the airplane and settle
where
down.
Where you had been.
Where I had originally been, and sit down next to the two people who I was gloating to over my apparent.
You know
bump
who that
up.
Would never happen to?
This Andrew,
Andrew
Wolf.
Nobody does that to Andrew Wolf.
That's right. That's right.
Well, listen, Julian, thanks for shooting your shot with our Andrew Welsh and reaching out, because it's been really fun getting to meet you. By the way, how's your podcast going?
I still need to film my second episode. I have a lot of ideas. I've written some stuff down, but I got to get going on it. I know.
This is the classic blunder, second only to never start a land war in Asia, is doing your first podcast episode and then never doing your second one.
Yep.
What is your podcast?
It's called I'm Skeptical. It's going to be a place where I can talk about some of my ideas, where I can, you know, kind of combat things that are accepted just because the way they are and, you know, kind of question everything.
Does this track with the Julian that you remember, Andrew?
Again, this is in no way a surprise. Julian was always one to ask the more probing questions.
Julian, thanks for putting this on our radar, Julian, and
of course,
Andrew
for
Wolf. Thanks you for thanks for not being completely weirded out when you got a random email from me after somebody found you in the back. And the sort of back end of the Connecticut school district website that they found you on.
Make no mistake, I was completely weirded out.
Fair.
But again, this was the type of moment that really just reaffirmed why being a teacher is so worth it. You know, you go through years of students coming in and you have good moments day to day to day, but to hear that years later, you're still, you know, remembered. It's like, yeah, like, you're a teacher. you're an influence inside the classroom and influence in helping on that path. And it was really, really nice to hear from you, Julian.
And really, thank you, Mr. Walsh. We talk about you all the time. You are incredible.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, now it's time for us to take some emails about people shame-eating fast food in a bathroom somewhere, which is the real important work of this podcast.
Right.
No, that was a lovely moment, and we really appreciate both of you being game to be part of this. So good luck to both of you, and I assume that we'll be hearing big things from you, Julian, and also, I hope that you will get settled into a position there, Mr. Wolf, at a school where you can start to create more Julians out there in the world.
If only. We need more skeptical, critically thinking, and politically motivated people.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank
you, guys.
All right.
Well, thanks, you guys, so much.
Thank you.
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week, I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man, it's not from a female.
Well, that was certainly wonderful and life-affirming during these unreasonable times, Andrew.
That was really good. Now, I wonder if they'll be able to stay in touch. I know that the teacher, Andrew Walsh, wait. You know that I'm not talking about myself. I don't have to say that. But I know that Andrew Walsh, being a teacher, was, you know, somewhat circumspect about reaching out to old students via social media or email or anything, because that's the proper way to be a teacher when you're an adult who works with minors, of course. And it sounds like he's the type of guy who does everything very carefully, as well he should. But I also wonder, does that mean that they won't be able to kind of stay in touch? Because that seemed really beautiful.
But maybe that's maybe the work is done.
Yeah, true.
You know, Julian was able to say, hey, man, you really stood out in my mind. And Andrew, now the newly minted Andrew Wolf, is be able to kind of appreciate that. And maybe he'll become the one listener to Julian's podcast that has one episode.
I don't know a way to say this without being... I'm sorry that I have to be so vague about this, but the fact that his new name is Andrew Wolf is also very fitting to my life. There is a world in which I very easily could have been an Andrew Wolf, and I'll just leave it there.
Wow.
Yes.
That's fascinating. I'm going to ask you about that offline.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry that I can't. You'll understand why I can't tell you later. But yeah, Andrew Wolf is also a name I could have been.
Well, in the meantime, any emails or emails catching your interest?
Yes. I'm glad you asked, Luke. Thanks for asking. I had a couple of things. So
sure,
we
Andrew
mentioned
Almost Wolf.
We had mentioned now a couple of shows in a row this voicemail that we got from listener Hannah, who I'll set it up again as quickly as I can, went to a Bruce Hornsby concert as a kid on the same day that she had broken her arm and spilled hot chocolate on herself, and she was kind of grumpy about it, but she had requested a bunch of songs for Bruce Hornsby to play, and it looked like he wasn't going to play them, but then he did end up picking up her little piece of paper with her suggested playlist and played it live for her when she was at this concert with her dad. And we found out later that she also had asked the person illegally recording the concert if she could have a copy of it. I wasn't sure if that meant that this would have been back in the cassette era days, but we definitely wanted to kind of hear that tape if it did exist. And I will have you know that we have heard back from Hannah, who has sent us chunks of that recording. And I'm looking for her note here. She says, by the way, it was not a cassette tape. I'm actually only 17, so this is a CD.
Whoa.
Yeah, I just assumed that this had happened a long time ago, but this was not all that long ago. So Hannah's 17 now. This happened when she was a kid. She says, the show was probably 8 years or so. It was some digital recording. We burned a CD of it, but I'm working on hunting it down so I can send it to you guys. My dad does not understand TBTL, so it's hard for me to explain why I need that recording. That to me is interesting in a very self-referential way. Usually when we have young people listening to the show, it's because they're dragged kicking and screaming to TBTL by way of their parents. In this case, we have a cool 17-year-old who's listening to the show but whose parents aren't interested in it. I'll take it.
Yeah. Major outlier. Hannah is Hannah's blazing her own trail.
Absolutely. So she sent me two little clips here. Here is, she said that he did a lot of talking. So she just tried to
and as we heard, a lot of swearing.
I'm hoping
the great irony that we've uncovered this side of Bruce Hornsby, who is, you know, seems like a pretty straight laced guy, albeit very friendly and likable, but that he's just swears like a sailor.
I really hope there's some swearing in here. Let's take a listen to this.
Because it's, like I remembered, I'm just kind of winging it up here, so I like all the input. This is a song that I played this last night in Lebanon, New Hampshire. It seems to be a very popular song of mine. It is about my son Russell, who still, in Eugene, Oregon, still doesn't really like school. He didn't like it when he was, I wrote this song about him when he was 7 or 8, and always coming home and just bitching about things in elementary school.
Bitching.
And so, this is a song about him. It's requested by 2 or 3 people, including Hannah. It's so funny. I started this request thing. It's funny. It started 24 years ago at Great Woods.
Okay, and that's where that file ends. And here's a second one, which is much shorter. Let's take a listen to this, if we can.
Very much. I had a great request up here. That was from someone named Hannah. So Hannah Storm was here. Great sportscaster. Hannah Storm was heard expounding about the effects on her kids.
I don't know. What is Hannah Storm? I don't. Was he?
That's
just...
Hannah Storm was a sportscaster. Okay. Is a sportscaster and was one of the hosts of NBA Inside Stuff along with Ahmad Rashad.
Look at you!
Actually, you know what? I might be confused. No, hold on. Wait a minute. Hannah Storm is a sportscaster and did cover basketball, but I could be confusing her with Willow Bay, who was the co-host of NBA Inside Stuff. But yeah, no, I would have to imagine he's referencing Hannah Storm, the sports person, because I was thinking, as Bruce Hornsby was talking about his son Russell, who didn't really like school. I wonder what's going on with these guys. And I find an article from 5 years ago, Hornsby Brothers Thriving in Division I Athletics.
Oh, great.
Keith Hornsby helped LSU make the NCAA basketball tournament, and Russell Hornsby competed in the track NCAAs with Oregon. So Bruce Hornsby's kids are very athletic people, and were playing D1 college sports as of 5 years ago.
And probably swearing a lot, because you learn it at home.
That's how you get good.
That's right. Yeah, he definitely was talking about the sportscaster. I don't know how well you could hear that. He said something about a sportscaster in that recording. Yeah, at first I thought that Hannah's last name was Storm, but it was not. He was just free associating in that classic Hornsby way. But that's really awesome. I mean, it's awesome that we have a 17-year-old listener, obviously, but also
that's the number one. We need
we're able to find
to get some listeners. We need some younger people buying into this thing.
We really
do.
That's how it works. Now, Hannah,
if you have friends.
Exactly. If you can get five
Julian,
of
if you're
your
still
friends.
Listening. Exactly. So I'm really glad that that recording exists. I'm glad Hannah got to have that moment. I'm very glad she sent it in to us because I was the one who requested it. What I'm trying to understand is the guy bootlegging it.
Yeah.
Was that – I guess it's just people like to bootleg concerts because the music – those songs are never going to sound that way, exactly that way again, because each time – the artist performs a piece of music, it's unique to that moment in time. But that being said, I feel like it'd be rough to go home and listen to that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance that the music cuts through and hits the tape a little bit better because it's going to be louder,
probably.
So you're going to get less – it's going to overwhelm the crowd noise that was getting in the way there of the talking parts. But I will say, yeah, like I – man, I should have been a bootlegger because I think I could have done – better. Although, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like that guy just had a microphone. I mean, I guess that's what bootlegging is. I had a friend who was a Deadhead in high school. I can't remember his name. We kind of, I don't
Oksa
know.
Oksa Moksa?
His name was Oksa Moksa. That's right. He would drive me to school every day in a giant skull with wheels. No, I don't know how we became friends. He was a huge hippie, huge Deadhead, but he did start giving me rides to school every day when he got his license, and that's kind of how I knew him. And in the car, he would burn incense. Sometimes we'd burn other things. I can't remember what. It's funny. I can't remember a lot of things about those rides. And we would listen to these Grateful Dead bootleg tapes that he had. And I swear some of them sounded pretty darn good. But I also think that there's such a culture in Deadhead world that maybe you get a little bit better access, even if it's not purely legal.
Yeah, the sense I got was that there were the bootlegs where the person was able to, for whatever reason, actually plug into the board.
Yes, exactly. Right.
And that is the most primo, version of that. And then there's the people that are just standing by the speaker, just pointing their recorder at a speaker. And then there's probably even some people standing in some other part of the arena or the venue that they've determined to be sort of parabolically or whatever, where the sound intersects in the best way,
I do love the idea of bootleg culture. I didn't get into it because there's just too much of it, and I'm not into like kind of the jam band type of stuff that usually brings about a lot of bootlegs. But I do love the idea of it. As somebody who just likes to obsess over something and collect a bunch of something, like I could really see myself getting into like, oh, this is the Cleveland Arena from 1978 concert. You know, like having kind of an encyclopedic knowledge of that kind of stuff seems kind of cool to me. Hey, if you don't mind, I can move on here because I did want to share something with you. We got a voicemail from an anonymous listener who, I'm not even going to set this up. This listener ended up leaving several voicemails. Here's the first one.
Okay, Luke and Andrew, I have to tell you about what I'm going through right now at Goodwill because it is the most ridiculous process I've ever seen in my life to drop things off. Now, I understand social distancing. I 100% support social distancing. But I think both of you would have major issues with what's happening. So let me set the scene. I'm trying to do a drop-off. There are 10 cars in line behind the Goodwill location. This is in Snohomish County. Now, there are about 15 cars just circling the Goodwill. And there's no rhyme or reason as to who's in what portion of the line circling the Goodwill. Cars are just entering and leaving that circling parade willy-nilly. And it's just a game of chance to see who gets to be in the line of cars at Goodwill. So totally just a weird system, and I'm just picturing Luke or Andrew with a car getting right in front of them after they've been circling the Goodwill for about 15 minutes. So, yeah, just slightly infuriating, but also pretty comic. It's just one of these things from COVID time. Anyway, cheers.
So instead of there being a line, like maybe if you think of like a Chick-fil-A or something, a long line outside the drive-through, then through the parking lot, then it goes out onto the street. In this case, people are just driving around, and so people can cut, not even knowing that they're cutting. You know, they're just driving into the thing. So anyway, I got another voicemail a little bit later.
Well, now I've been circling for an hour. The sprinter man in front of me got in line about 3 laps ago, and he's already pitching a fit because he doesn't know that the rest of us road warriors have been here for a really, really long time. You know, I can't blame him. I was once that naive. I've learned more. There's a guy in a MAGA hat here.
Oh, boy. Okay, that's it. That's the power out on that one. And then
end of transmission.
Here's this one here.
I gave up after an hour and 45 minutes. To the dump.
Okay, so an hour and 45 minutes. She's driving around.
Wow.
Can't get in. She's going to dump the stuff off at the dump, except...
Well, I got to the dump, and they asked for my ID. My zip code wasn't approved to use that dump.
What?
So the shit's all still in the back of my car. I really love COVID.
So that's like at least two hours, probably more when you take into account the amount of time to load up her car full of all that junk. And then to just have to drive it home. Like, I wonder, like, I don't want to encourage anybody to break the law, but I know that feeling when you just have stuff that you're trying to get rid of and nobody will take it. Mm-hmm. It is very tempting to do what we like to call illegal dumping. Like... That is
you
so
and the police like
frustrating.
To call it that.
Yes, exactly. Oh, that is a frustrating story, though.
I will say that, like, the illegality of the dumping is directly related to how desirable the items are.
Yes.
There are certain things that I think you could put out, and they would actually be a benefit to people, and someone will actually pick them up. But people kind of know in their hearts what is and isn't that. For instance, that old toilet, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not going to be picked up. Or as I saw it once, I was walking somewhere. I must have been in Seattle. Somebody had put out one of those kind of rolling. I mean, it sort of can be used, I think, in lieu of a toilet for people that have mobility issues, maybe particularly somebody who's older and it's hard for them to get to the bathroom. And so you know what I'm talking about. It looks like a walker, but it has a toilet seat situated in it.
I don't know if
I've
seen
one. Kind of a rolling bedpan. But, you know, that's something that I think is probably very necessary and maybe a godsend for people in certain situations. It's not a thing that I'm going to go ahead and go secondhand on.
Yeah.
And I remember walking down the street and someone had just put that out on the parking strip. And I believe I wrote something on Twitter. So this was when Twitter existed. So however long that would make it. I said, of all the things I've hard passed on, maybe none have been harder than this pass.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, so, you know, there's the putting stuff out that does benefit the world, and there's putting stuff out that you just don't want to deal with it anymore. I wonder what that listener was actually – they didn't mention what the actual stuff was, just it was a bunch of junk.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I'm not saying that you should illegally dump that stuff somewhere, but I do know that feeling. Like when you – all you wanted to do was give stuff away, and then all you want to do is throw stuff away. Like I understand a dump maybe having to charge a little bit. Like I know that our transfer stations here in Seattle, it's like $30 for the first 100 pounds or something along those lines, which is kind of a pain because if you just have like one box fan you want to throw away, it's like, oh, that's $30. Okay, I guess I better go get a bunch more garbage to throw away first. But I understand that there's got to be some costs associated with getting rid of our crap. But just to say like, no, you can't use this dump, wrong zip code. That's pretty infuriating.
I've never even heard of that. I mean, that's... I mean, maybe I've never tried to use a dump in another zip code. I've never been asked for my ID.
Yeah.
The thing that I always go through when I go to the Goodwill, and I have to say, like, you know, that compared to that listener's experience, the one here in Bellingham seems to be a real first class operation. It's never just been like random Fury Road parking lot situation with a guy hanging from two chains playing a flame guitar as you try to drop a futon off.
Oh my God.
But what I always think, I would never take, I would never take so-called garbage to the Goodwill, but I do take things sometimes that I'm like, well, this somebody could potentially use this, but would they?
Mm-hmm.
And I always think, I can't think of a good example, which is why this little addition from me to the conversation is kind of pointless. But I there are many times where I almost want to apologize for the stuff I'm giving them, like, oh, old salad bowls and cooking, you know, like utensils. And I'm just like, is that? That might even be a bad example because I'm sure that there's a need for that. There are just times where I'm giving them something that I just think to myself, wow, are you going to take? And I expect one of those folks that helps you unload it and that categorizes it to sort of, you know, say like, oh yeah, no, we can't take this. Nobody's going to want this. But they pretty much always are like, okay. And then they'll say, do you want a receipt? And I'll be like, I'm good. One time they didn't offer me a receipt, which I felt like was their subtle way of saying, this is shit, what you're dropping off,
Burbs. And then you got insulted. Did you go from feeling sheepish to insulted? Because both you and I can take that path pretty quickly. Insulted in under 60.
Yeah, Fast and Furious 9. From sheepish to insulted.
By the way, what are we going to call this show? Keep in mind, this is going to be a show that will be forever bookmarked in the Real Andrew Walsh's / the Real Andrew Wolf's / Julian's computer forever. We should give it a good fitting title, right?
Mm-hmm. The one where Luke played the breaking news sounder?
We could do that. I was going to go out with, this might be a mistake, but Andrew had said that the song that he sang at that school recital was the Black Velvet Band. That's the name of the song. It's a traditional Irish. I have it loaded up here by the Dubliners. Dare we go out with that?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
But I want to try to help you get to the bottom of this show title situation.
All right.
But I don't have, I didn't write anything down, so I'm kind of no help. I mean, I feel do you agree that it should be related to us reuniting Julian?
I do.
And the other Andrew? I mean, that was the big takeaway. As exciting as the rest of the show was, that was the big takeaway.
Yeah, and again, I would like to do something that that isn't so inappropriate that they wouldn't want to share it with their friends. What did we
fair?
What do we need?
Teach
yesterday
the children well.
I can't even remember.
Live? How about Live Poets Society?
Look at that.
How about what are some other?
I mean, we couldn't call it. Have we ever used the show title "Daddy, Will You Buy Me a Mini Mommy"? Have we used that as a show? Oh, we already used that one. Darn it! Shoot.
Well, I'm out of ideas.
All right, we'll figure something out off air.
Okay. All right. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for being part of the show. We're going to be right back here with more Imaginary Radio tomorrow. So please do tune in for that. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Stay safe. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Apprenticed to trade I was bound. And many an hour sweet happiness have I spent in that neat little town. A sad misfortune came over me, which caused me to stray from the land. Far away from me friends and relations, betrayed by the Black Velvet Band. Her eyes, they shone like diamonds. I thought her the queen of the land.
I'd be on the bathroom pee-pee, and he'd be standing right there pee-pee. It was hilarious.
Tied up with a Black Velvet Band, I took a stroll down Broadway.
Power out.